Hey, we're back.
Hi.
We made it. We've been chatting for a minute, and then we're like, we should probably start doing this.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
And I'm still sick, so that's fun. Actually, I got re-sick, so...
Oh. Can you stop?
I bleached so much stuff in my house yesterday. Like, I guess not bleached, but Lysol wiped. I just...
Cleaned everything.
Destroyed everything. Yep. So... Hopefully that kills whatever has been hanging out, but yeah. So, I sound better. This is, I'm on the back half again, but still not great. Yeah. Still not great.
Do we need to introduce ourselves?
I guess, I mean, maybe. Oh, yeah. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Brian.
And this is ADH Disturbed. Okay, we did it. As you can tell, the mental health side of things is probably spiraling a little bit around this time of year. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm alive. It's been That's dark, good. So I've been very unmotivated.
Yeah.
We're living.
I feel that. Yep. I hate that. Because, like, at least now, for the first time in, like, my entire adult life... I work in a building that has windows, so it's not been as bad, because usually this time of year, because I work in a lab, typically, and so, like, I've never worked in one that had windows that were, like, where I was most of the day, and so I would just be, like, in this dark little box all winter long, so I feel like I'm actually doing a little bit better than I normally do.
Because you can actually see the sun during the day.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not just, like, leaving when it's dark and going home when it's dark. I actually get to see a little bit of some vitamin D coming into my life. Good. Yeah, but I'm also still super sleepy. Like, I just took, like, a 3-hour nap, and it was incredible.
Weekends are always, like, harder for me because I end up sleeping in. Because it's, like, one of the only times that Bench and I actually get to sleep together because he works nights.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to wake up at like 9 or like 10 today. I was in bed until noon.
Yep. That's what I did yesterday. Well, I got up. So Jake and I will like alternate on the weekends with the child. So I'll get up through the night because I still breastfeed. And then he'll get up with him once he wakes up. And then he got up with him around like 7 yesterday and I went back to bed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You need it. Sleep is important.
I do. Yeah. So it was good. And I have not taken a nap like that in a while either, but the bean had to sleep too because he woke up and then didn't want to go back to sleep after like 5 this morning and didn't go back down until like 11:30. So he had a good 3-hour nap too, which was nice. So yeah, we all knocked out.
Mandatory nap time.
Yep. All of the humans and the dog, we all knocked out.
Love it.
Yes.
So what are we talking about?
We are talking about Robert Lamone.
Okay.
And this story that basically, it literally sounds like it could have been written for a soap opera. But it actually happened. And so a lot of this came from the Snapped episode that I watched. And it's interesting. It's like boy meets girl, boy marries girl, boy and girl decide to have an open marriage, girl asks to close the marriage, and then there's drama and affairs and murder.
Oh my.
Yeah. So to understand how it got to that point, we need to go back to the year 1998, which is when 18-year-old Sabrina San Mian met 21-year-old Robert Lamone at a barbecue. And everybody said it was like love at first sight. And the two were married shortly after that in 2000. And Robert began working with his brother-in-law at the Burlington North Santa Fe Railway. And they got started on their family really quick. Over the next 3 years, they had 2 children, a boy and a girl. And I'm not going to name them. As much as possible when there's children involved, unless it's super relevant to the story, I try not to name them or, like, give too many details about them because they've been through enough.
Absolutely.
So, they had these 2 kids, and then they moved to Silver Lakes, California, and they had a reputation as, like, the fun it couple of the neighborhood. Like, they drank a lot, they went to a lot of parties, they hosted a lot of parties, and, like, they were well-known in the neighborhood and just... kind of all over the place, it sounded like.
Hmm. So Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. For a minute.
Right. Well, in 2008, the couple decided to open their marriage to spice things up. And reportedly, this included not only swinging with neighbors and friends, but also potentially orgies, maybe? I mean, to each their own. That's what you want, I guess. It's not really uncommon, but it's like one of those arguments that I'm sure is really difficult to... Sorry, let me try again. It's not necessarily something that's super uncommon, but it's one of those agreements that is pretty difficult to navigate and requires a lot of trust and communication and, like, ground rules kind of thing. Like, and if both parties are not into it, then it's not something that should happen.
Yeah.
But after a few years of the open relationship and the fun and the parties and the orgies, Sabrina apparently began to feel that the level of partying and the more high-risk lifestyle they were living was not something she wanted to continue. So she wanted to change for the benefit of her children and kind of just change her life a little bit, get on a different track. So around 2011-2012, Sabrina and Rob closed their marriage, reduced their partying, began attending church. That's wonderful. The people who knew them said that there was a marked difference, specifically in Sabrina. It seemed like she had some sort of spiritual awakening, and around this time she also began working at Costco part-time to supplement the family income, which is where she met 23-year-old Jonathan Hearn. So if you're keeping track of years here, Jonathan was about 10 years younger than Sabrina. He was a firefighter and also very religious, so they probably just kind of connected on their spirituality a little bit.
Yeah. I find it ironic as we get into this. I'm sure you can kind of see where it's leading, that, you know, she started off with this lifestyle change to close their marriage and to build the relationship, and then almost immediately goes the other direction. So anyway, but yeah, Sabrina and Jonathan initially connected over that religious affiliation, and Jonathan offered to be Sabrina's spiritual advisor, which would involve intense Bible studies. That just feels weird. Like, it's the same as, like, offering to be somebody's mentor. Like, if they didn't ask you, you offering that position is weird.
It is a little odd.
Yeah. But, I mean, like you said, to each their own, but I just find that weird when people do that. I haven't had the spiritual advisor offer, but I have had people be like, I want to mentor you. And I was like, did I ask?
Yeah, did I ask you?
Like, that's weird. At first it seemed like the efforts were working and it was actually bringing Sabrina and Robert closer in their marriage. And then just as it started to seem like little Mo's life was making a turn, Rob was discovered murdered on the job in Tehachapi, California. A coworker discovered him, he dialed 911, and the operator guided him through CPR. But by the time first responders arrived, it was clear that Rob was dead on arrival, or DOA. And this was on August 17th, 2014. So Rob had been shot twice at close range. There were no spent shell casings, which means that it was either a revolver or someone had taken the time to clean up after themselves. Either one was a possibility. More likely in this case, they thought it was a revolver because finding casings is kind of difficult sometimes. And then speaking with coworkers, it really seemed like Rob was well-liked. Like, there was no apparent motive for the murder. And as they looked around, they saw that the office that Rob was found in had drawers and file cabinets that were thrown open. A laptop was missing. And so initially, they were going down the route of a robbery gone wrong. However, Rob's wallet was still there, with money inside, as well as his phone. And both items would have more immediate resale value and cash value than the laptop that was taken. And so they were like, well, that's strange. It seems like it could be staged. And I will say, like, credit to the detectives and the cops in this case, because it seems like they were actually kind of, like, on the ball.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like we don't see very often sometimes in these cases. But, like, these cops, I will say, like, I mean, it could be a bias from the episode of Snapped that I watched and some of that, but they actually seemed like they were doing, you know, their due diligence through this case.
Yeah, which is good, and that's what we always hope, but some of the cases that we talk about are obviously because some things went wrong in the investigation, that makes it more
Yeah.
interesting. But it, yeah, I agree. It does seem like they're really looking into this to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, outside of the building, detectives found foot imprints in the dirt and took molds of them for comparison to any potential suspects, which is also a great move. Detective Meyer was the lead detective and was the one to speak with Sabrina the morning after the murder. Now, Sabrina told a detective that she knew of nobody that would want to hurt Rob, and he was a wonderful husband and father, and everybody loved him. He was a great part of his community. She also told detectives that he didn't normally work at Tehachapi. How am I supposed to
That
Tehachapi?
was correct,
Oh, good.
Tehachapi.
Oh, okay. I
Yeah.
thought I was gonna totally get that wrong.
No. At least that's how they pronounced it in the episode. Tehachapi is how they pronounced it, so.
Okay, we'll go with that. So he didn't normally work at this location, but was asked to fill in for another coworker that during the time he was there. Oh wait, hold on. Let me try
Yeah.
again. So Rob didn't normally work at this location, but he was filling in for another coworker. And she also said that while he was at work, she was calling and texting him, and she said that he stopped returning her messages around 3 p.m. on the day of the murder, causing her to become a little frantic. Because, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, if you're going back and forth and then suddenly you can't get a hold of them anymore, that would be cause for concern.
Yeah.
Now, it caused the detectives to wonder if the target had been the coworker that he was filling in for. Maybe it was just wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. Because apparently the night before, the coworker had gotten into a bar fight, and the hypothesis started to form that it was the person he got into the fight with that came to settle score, basically, and mistook Rob for his coworker. I guess, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a terrible line of thought
Right.
from what information they have so far.
Yeah.
They also pulled CCTV from the building and saw a limping man approaching and then leaving the building where Rob was working and found murdered.
Yeah. And so the CCTV didn't show the man going into the building. It just showed him there around the time that they were there.
Okay.
And so that was like their only lead to go on, right? They
Sure.
were like, oh, bar fight, limping man, they're starting to see some dots connecting here potentially. One other thing I thought weird was like, I know Benji works nights, but are you texting him a lot while he's there?
No, I'm
That's the
not
thing, like
awake.
Jake and I, well, there's that, but like even Jake and I are on the same schedule technically, but like I rarely text him, and if even if I do, I don't expect him to respond, and so I'm like, if he didn't respond, it wouldn't cause me to like think anything differently.
Right. Yeah, like, I guess if it was like we were having an ongoing conversation,
Right.
then that would be a cause for concern, but I'm with you. Like, even when we worked similar schedules, the only reason we'd be texting each other throughout the day is like, hey, you're by this store. Can you grab this on the way home?
Yeah, that's kind of the same with us. Yeah. So I mean like I guess maybe I know some other people are different, but it just is like that's interesting. And I know that was a different place than he normally worked, but just like I wouldn't think that was weird if Jake wasn't responding to my texts suddenly.
Right. Yeah, maybe he's busy. Maybe he had to take care of something
Right.
really
Especially
fast.
working at a railroad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, but that's just another little side note there. So the police took that CCTV footage of the limping man, they released it to the media, which helped him get a few tips. And it turns out the man was just a local who walked past the building to get to his home on the other side of the freeway. His shoe prints did match those found at the scene, and the reason he was limping was because he'd actually been hit by a car earlier that day, and he was actually being treated at the hospital during the time when Rob was likely murdered.
Boy.
Yeah, so they said the guy was like, he was like transient, he was there for work, so he just kind of walked around a lot. People knew him, knew who he was, and so it wasn't that abnormal that, he'd been hit by a car, walked himself to the hospital, and then walked
Right.
home.
Like, but I mean, I guess I still think that the line of thought was pretty on track for what they
Yeah.
had.
Yeah. Right. And so they, you know, they followed up with him, determined, you know, this isn't the guy, and so there went another lead. But they went back through the CCTV images, and they actually saw someone on a motorcycle driving back and forth on the street to the crime scene. Now the footage was really blurry, like they showed some clips of it, and the rider definitely couldn't be ID'd. But there were certain details in the motorcycle that were distinct enough that if they were to compare it to a physical bike, the detectives were certain they could match it, or at least get something close enough. You know, it was like a nicer bike. It was one that had like some different decals and different like characteristics that, like, if they saw another bike, they could, you know, make
Right.
some comparisons there. So they kind of held on to that for the time being. But around this time, detectives also received a tip from a local gunsmith that someone came in with a large caliber revolver asking for the firing pin to be replaced. And what caused the gunsmith to make the call was that there was nothing wrong with the gun, and so there was no reason to replace it. So if you don't know, there are basically two ways that bullets can be fired. One is a rim fire and one is a center fire. Larger calibers are usually center fire, and the firing pin leaves a really distinct imprint on the primer piece of the bullet, which means that if casings are found, they can be matched to individual guns. And so between the casings and then the ballistics that happen on the actual lead part of the weapon, it can be like a fingerprint. So on the inside of barrels, there's either like rifling, like the think of like the James Bond opener where you see like the rifling going down the center, or there's little nicks or imperfections in the barrel, and they leave marks on the lead piece of the bullet that can then be matched back to the gun. So between that and the casing, it's like it literally can be as good as a fingerprint. And so detectives are like, that's it, some guy's trying to replace his firing pin, so we can't match the murder weapon. So anyway, detectives are like, that's it, we're gonna go find this guy. And so they talk to the gunsmith, they to find out where this guy is, because again, they're like, there's no reason to replace a firing pin that's in good working order, but maybe this guy's trying to disguise
Right.
the
Yeah,
murder
that would
weapon.
be kind of a weird thing. Like, my gun's perfectly fine, but I don't like this firing pin for some reason. Would you just change it? And it's like
Yeah,
sparkly new. I don't
right.
know.
Yeah, well, and
No.
gunsmiths are not cheap. That's like,
Yeah.
yeah.
No, so the gun owner did have an alibi, but they seized the gun anyway, as you should. To run a rapid ballistics check, and surprisingly, it was not the weapon that killed Rob. It seemed like the apparent randomness of the killing was going to leave the case unsolved. Like, they couldn't find anything, every lead that they're following just comes up with nothing. It's kind of probably frustrating at this point. Until about a week after Rob's funeral. They got a tip from one of Rob's friends, Jason Bernatane, and he thinks he knows who killed Rob based on some texts and voicemails he got from dun dun dun, Jonathan Hearn. So, Rob's friend Jason said that he'd been receiving these weird messages from Jonathan for about a year. After he attended a party thrown at a bar by the Limons, where Hearn unexpectedly showed up. Now, Jason knew Jonathan because he was also a firefighter, and at the party, Hearn was introduced as Sabrina's Bible study partner. It's such an odd, like, dynamic. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, and like we're it's almost like inviting somebody you're working on a class
Yeah.
project with to a party.
Yeah. This
Like
is my
weird.
lab partner. We're at a party with all of our friends, but this is
Right.
my lab partner.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is a little odd. Not to, I mean, Jason thought so too. He also noticed the strange closeness between Jonathan and Sabrina, but he was like, maybe it's just innocent. I don't feel like I need to say anything at this point. Maybe it's not my place, kind of thing. It was a couple months later that Jonathan calls Jason asking for Rob's phone number. And ironically, Jason was at Rob's house at the time, so he just handed the phone to Rob. And Rob talked to Jonathan. And after the conversation, Rob told Jason that Jonathan had called to apologize for an affair that he'd been having with Sabrina, which Okay, it takes guts to just call up the man whose wife you're fucking, but okay. Now, Rob said this was the first time he'd had proof of anything, but he'd been suspicious for a while because of text messages between Jonathan and Sabrina,
Right.
and there's probably some other signs, but at the time, Sabrina was like, "No, honey, everything's fine. I would never do that to you. We're just friends."
Yeah.
But because of this, Rob was clearly like, "Bro, we closed our relationship. You need to end this with Jonathan." And she said that she did. But the apology from Jonathan on the phone, where he was like crying, so like, man, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I've been sleeping with your wife. And after this, Rob was like, I'm hoping this is over for good then, since both parties are aware that I'm aware and I've gotten an apology. So I would be like, okay, yeah, it's over then.
Right.
Thanks for apologizing. Don't my wife anymore.
Right. And like that, good on Rob, I guess, for like not freaking out. And I guess, between the swinging and the everything else that had happened before, maybe it wasn't as big of a deal for him that way,
Right, like
like at
if they
least
had been
physically.
monogamous the entire relationship and then
Yeah.
cheating, that I feel like that would be a lot harder, but since they had
Right.
previously had an open relationship, they had relationships out of their marriage
Yeah.
before, like he probably was still like, ouch, that's a stab in the back,
Right.
but we can work through it a little bit easier kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I could see like being able to be like, all right, we are still transitioning from being open to being closed. Like that can take some time. I can see that. I can see how that would be, like you said, painful, but something that you could work through pretty quickly given their history together,
Right.
right? And like we said, the amount of open communication you have to have one of those agreements, I feel like would contribute to that as well.
Yeah,
So.
because if you don't have open communication and the both parties don't want to be a part of an open relationship, that's just asking prematurely to get a divorce. Like,
Yeah.
at that point, it's just not going to work out, okay?
Yeah.
Just call it
Well,
quits.
just wait.
Oh
There's
boy. Oh
more.
boy, I'm ready. Am I ready? I don't
And
know.
I don't know, but it did seem like after this that things were going back to normal. That is until Jason's wife, Kelly, saw Sabrina and Jonathan together again about 10 months after the apology. Yeah.
Sabrina, how dare you?
Right. Now, Kelly, being a good woman, told her husband, was like, hey, this is weird, right? Which, like, I would do, you would do. We'd both go home and be like, babe, you're not gonna believe it.
Yeah, especially because Jason told his wife that he's like, yo, I was with Rob and somebody called him to
Oh yeah.
apologize for fucking his wife.
You know that that tea was hot that
Oh,
night.
it was scalding.
Yeah. So, she's coming back. She's like, babe, I got new info, right? So anyway, so Kelly tells her husband, and he decides he's going to confront Jonathan because he's a good friend. And this seemed to rattle Jonathan, and he promised to keep his distance from Sabrina. And then it was about 4 months after this that Rob was shot. And then a couple days after the murder, Jason gets a weird voicemail from Jonathan. And it was a long, rambling apology, but didn't mention anything specific. Even so, Jason and Kelly decide to take it to the police because they're like, well, he could just be continuing to apologize for the affair, and Jason had had weird messages from him before. But it sounds like Jason and Kelly are like the kind of people that are like, yeah, this is just nah, better safe than sorry. And so they did take it to the police. Right. And so with this tip, a few more things started to fall into place. And one major thing is that Jonathan owned a motorcycle similar to the one the police saw on the CCTV footage from the murder scene. And then police were able to subpoena Jonathan's phone records, which showed a lot of communication with Sabrina, which suddenly stopped. And then a new number that was unregistered started communicating with him. This is called a burner phone. So it was an unregistered number. But with this information, Detective Meyer was able to get a wiretap ordered on Jonathan's phone. And lo and behold, the unregistered number belonged to Sabrina. And Police heard conversations with Sabrina and Jonathan telling each other how much they loved each other, that they were going to raise their children together, and basically kind of saying that, you know, she wanted Jonathan to replace Rob in all of these sort of husbandly, fatherly roles.
These two are delulu.
Oh, so much.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So the phone conversations give real, like, Lori Vallow vibes. And if you don't know about Lori Vallow, she's a cult leader woman who murdered her husband and children. And also, her new husband, they murdered his wife as well. I'm pretty sure.
There's a whole...
I may be getting those.
No, yeah, I think you're right, because there's a... I don't know if they've proven that one. There's a whole Dr. Phil episode about it, where there's, like, this spider web. We're gonna go over it, because it's just too much, but yeah, it's crazy.
Like, I know that she was convicted of something.
I think she was convicted on the murder of her children.
Okay. And then they're still working on other things. So, allegedly killed her husband and the wife of her now
current husband.
Partner and religious partner.
Yeah.
Anyway, the two... Sabrina and Jonathan are using their shared relationship with God to validate their relationship and the things that they're doing, saying things like God is leading and guiding and directing their life, and that God is bringing them together. They never confess to the murder, but there is underlying concern about a secret that they clearly don't want to get out. So is it just the love affair that they're hiding, or something more sinister, like maybe killing Rob? I don't know. But Detective Meyer, as they're listening in on these conversations, he starts telling Sabrina some information about the case, knowing that she would then talk to Jonathan about it. So they call it stimulating the wire, like planting a little bit of information, hoping that the two parties will talk about it on the phone that's been tapped.
And it worked like a dream.
Oh, amazing. So they told Sabrina that they got a good DNA sample from what they thought was a sweat drop at the scene. Detective Meyer said that they had the DNA profile, but no suspect to match it with yet. And of course, immediately Sabrina calls Jonathan to tell him about this, and they both seem pretty concerned. Like, more concerned than you should be if you're not involved.
Like, if you really thought that your husband was murdered, you would be delighted that they had DNA that they could use.
They have DNA for something. All they need is somebody to match it with. That's perfect. This is amazing. No. Oh, no, they have DNA. I don't know how this is going to go. Like, this is kind of scary. Yeah, that's a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
Jonathan tells Sabrina that their relationship is like David and Bathsheba from the Bible. Which, if you're not familiar with that story, basically David wanted Bathsheba, but she was married to another man. I could see it. In the Bible, David sent Bathsheba's husband to war on the front line so he would die, and David could marry her instead. Which is an interesting story to have come to mind in this situation, because it kind of just implicates some weird stuff that's going on. It's not really a love story in the Bible.
Yeah, if anything, it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah. Of just, like, bad choices. But I wouldn't want to compare my love to this story.
No.
But I guess if, you know, you did something similar, like murdering your lover's husband... Yeah. Then, yeah, I could see why you'd compare yourself to this story. But at this point, police have enough evidence to arrest Jonathan and Sabrina on suspicion. Jonathan lawyered up immediately while Sabrina agrees to talk and says, "There's no way Jonathan's responsible. He would never do this. He's a man of God."
Okay, honey. Sure thing, sweetheart. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this just, I just, y'all. Anyway. So, they served search warrants at both Sabrina and Jonathan's homes. All they found at Sabrina's home was that she had documents that showed that she'd already received Rob's life insurance payout. And at Jonathan's home, they recovered some of the motorcycle accessories that matched what they could see on the video surveillance. So some of it was like the gloves that he was wearing, and he was also wearing a red bandana in the surveillance, and they found that there, and along with the motorcycle helmet that matched as well. They didn't find the murder weapon, and while the police thought that this was enough to like move forward, the DA at the time did not. He said that at least there was not enough evidence against Sabrina to charge her. So then, it's looking like Sabrina's might get off, right? But then Jonathan's lawyer approaches the DA and says that Jonathan is willing to testify against Sabrina in return for a plea deal. Which,
That's nuts.
yeah, like that was the twist I didn't see coming. Because it's like he this whole time he's been like, I'm your savior, I'm your protector, I am your spiritual leader and advisor. And then the first opportunity throws her under the bus, right? So he admits to murdering Rob and says that Sabrina was a willing conspirator in everything, and that the reason behind it came down to the open marriage lifestyle. Jonathan said that it was really Rob that had pressured Sabrina into the swinging and painted himself again as this sort of savior pulling Sabrina out of that sin. Police were not able to verify that. And
Obviously, because Rob had
yeah,
said.
and also, based on the way that they were perceived by their community, it seems a little unlikely. And I mean, you never really know what's going on behind closed doors. But they'd
Right.
had this talk, they'd agreed to close the marriage. So, like, what's the point now of like exacting revenge, you know?
Yeah.
But they, this was enough to determine that Sabrina definitely did have a hand in helping with the murder, and especially knowing where to kill Rob. He didn't usually work at this location. He was filling in for somebody. So, it wasn't this guy that had just mistaken him for the guy he got in a bar fight with. It wasn't this transient man. It wasn't the guy replacing the firing pin. It wasn't random. They knew where he was going to be. And they determined he used a 45 revolver to shoot Rob twice at point blank range. And that's what Jonathan confirmed as well. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
wild. Like, now that we're both in hot water, I'm gonna pull you down
Right.
with me. But all of this was enough information for the DA to formally charge Sabrina with the murder of Rob. They both smiled in their mugshots, though, which to me is always so
Yeah.
weird. I mean, like in my previous job, we would run sex offender
Right.
searches, and like I know that the sex offender registry is not all like violent
Right.
people. Like sometimes, okay, I peed in public and now I'm on the registry, kind of
Right.
thing. I know that that's the case, but there are some that you're just like, I see your charges, and that's the face that you're making in your registration
Yeah.
photo.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, whenever people smile in mugshots, it's just a little bit like you're
Yeah.
unhinged.
Yep. And yeah, Sabrina's smile was like big. Like she looked like she was smiling for like a
Just like,
portrait.
oh
Yeah.
no. Oh,
Yeah.
honey. But the murder trial was based largely around Jonathan's plea deal. So this began September 11th, 2017. The prosecution used the angle of Jonathan and Sabrina's relationship as the motive to get rid of Rob, which, fair. This was giving the implication that Sabrina felt Rob would be better off dead than dealing with the pain of the affair and potential divorce. But here's the thing. Divorce is not like, yeah, it can be tough. But it's better than murdering
Seriously.
someone. It's better than killing somebody. Seriously?
And this
Like,
is in the in 2014 when this happened. Divorce was easy to come, like it still is. It's easy to come by. You don't need a reason beyond irreconcilable differences.
right. Like, oh no, if I divorce this person, the pain is gonna be unimaginable. They'd be better off dead. No,
No.
honey. No. That's
Yeah.
insane. But, like, how. The other part is the
Yeah.
children. Like, maybe you can justify, oh, I can kill my spouse instead of divorcing them because it would be better for them. But what about your
Yeah.
children? You're taking away their father because, like, yeah, trauma can be, or sorry, the trauma from divorce can be pretty terrible sometimes on children, but I feel like it's just worse
When
when
they're murdered.
children have a parent die, let alone be murdered. So, in all honesty, it wasn't that they wanted to save Rob, it was just that it was more convenient if he just wasn't in the picture at all. It meant life insurance payout, no custody battle, no divorce proceedings, no potential loss of friendship, and the addition of a younger man.
Yeah, so that's,
These people.
and that's the thing is like, there are sometimes where it's like lovers' quarrels end in shootings or in murder because of passion, right? Like, usually they're crimes of passion. This was definitely premeditated.
For
So yeah,
sure.
it was just like a convenience thing. This wasn't an act of like heated jealousy. They were just like, yeah, I don't want to deal with that. So
Let's just off
yeah.
him.
But Sabrina's defense in all of this was that they never actually admitted to anything on the phone, which is true, but pretty paper thin as far as a defense goes.
And you don't need a confession when there's so much evidence.
But I watched this part that she said she was definitely guilty of having hopes and dreams of a life with Jonathan.
Gross.
And she said that Jonathan manipulated her by carrying his Bible with him at all times, and that she said that he was obsessed with her, and she had said she wasn't going to leave Rob, and so Jonathan did this all on his own. And so her defense tried to downplay it as just an affair gone wrong, and the onus was completely on Jonathan for everything.
Right. I totally.
You could almost see that if it weren't for the fact that like he knew where to find Rob, that there had been all of this communication back and forth between the two of them, that she was really quick to get that life insurance payout. I'm sorry, there's just a lot.
I can just imagine the judge just rolling his eyes on the stand, like, are you fucking kidding me, woman?
So the jury agreed, and they found Sabrina guilty of first degree murder, and she was sentenced to 25 years to life with the possibility of parole after 20 years. And so a juror talked to a reporter and just said that they didn't feel that Sabrina was genuine. Shocker.
Fair.
Like, I watched part of the trial and I was like, yeah, that tracks. And then Jonathan was just sentenced to 25 years straight, as was outlined in his plea deal. And Jonathan was actually given the opportunity to address Rob's family, to whom he genuinely apologized. And Rob's sister was interviewed, and she said that she was more willing to forgive Jonathan, even going as far as to say she would have let him walk out of the courtroom that day, and that she believed that Sabrina was the real mastermind. And Sabrina's family obviously disagrees, and they maintain the story of manipulation at the hands of both men. But either way, all sorts of like appeals have been denied, and Sabrina and Jonathan are both still incarcerated. Jonathan is eligible for parole in 2028. And Sabrina in 2037. And right now, the children are in custody of Sabrina's sister. So they're at least being taken care of. They weren't put into the system, which is good.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, the two culprits are still in prison.
At least for another 5 years. Jonathan, I really hope in these cases, like, sure, maybe I can see where Sabrina's family's coming from, of like, or sorry, Rob's family. I got myself confused. Rob's family's coming from where it's like, oh yeah, like, screw this woman. We've known her for so long
Yeah,
and
and she did
she,
this.
like, she did this. But I still hope that they both stay in prison for their false
Oh yeah, me too.
sentences.
I don't personally, when it comes to murder, especially first degree murder, I'm not really in favor of parole.
It just seems a little bit. I don't know.
Like,
Yeah, I'm with you.
I get that, like, maybe after 25 years, where it's like 25 years to life, if you've done that, I get that. But I'm not necessarily in favor of early parole for first degree murder. For a lot of other things, yeah, 100%. But,
Yeah, I'm with you. It's also just really great that, like, I agree that the kids didn't end up in the system. it's so overwhelmed there, and like kids fall through the cracks all the time, so it's really just good that at least they, after all of this shit that they've been put through at the hands of their mother, but at least they're not been they're not they haven't been separated, and they're still with familiar faces and their family,
And I
and
just hope they're getting therapy.
that's, oh jeez, yeah,
Lots and lots of
yes,
therapy.
because they are gonna need it. Oh
Yeah.
man, I mean everybody really could
It's
benefit
true.
from it, but especially these kids
Yeah.
right now. Let's be
Yeah, so
real.
I hope that, the family is taking good care of them and that they are going to be able to grow up and, kind of move past this and hopefully have healthy and happy lives.
We'll definitely have to get into
Oh
Lori
my
Bell.
gosh, yes.
Because that one's a big one. We might have to
I was gonna say,
split
that
it
might have
up,
to be a couple
but.
parts because that one is, there's so
Oh.
much. There's so much.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It is. That one's just
Yeah.
insane.
So,
But I do see a lot of
right?
parallels here with the Jesus, like, side of
Yeah.
things, and like. I mean, these people didn't say or claim that either of them were a
Well,
prophet, which kind of
yes,
distinguishes between
that
the
is,
two.
that is.
But there are a lot of
Yeah.
similarities, and murder
Yeah.
included,
Yeah.
that it would be interesting to go into that
Yeah.
one.
So we'll get there one of these days. But yeah, we'll talk to you later.
That's it. That we're
Yep.
done. We don't know what we're doing next, and we also don't know when it'll happen.
Yep.
So you're just gonna be as surprised as we are. And that's the way it goes here because our brains don't work. Okay,
Yes. Then.
bye.